Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2025, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is a visionary leader, a powerhouse speaker, and the founder of the Voices of Women Summit. She's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and coaches take the stage, share their message, and make an impact. With her signature energy, passion, and a whole lot of fun, she's got another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly. Hey, folks, I'm back, and I have with me one of my dear friends, Manette Antiel. Manette and I met through an amazing program, and she is a powerhouse woman with a lot to offer. So I'm so excited that she is here and on our Diamond Track. Manette is going to be speaking about ignite your voice, your vision, and the world. Shape the future to create a world rooted in social justice, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So you can see she's my type of girl. Welcome to the program, Manette.
Hi, Kimberly. It's always good to be with you. You're amazing how you put all this together. And I want to just start out by, you know, the person you just had, all the voices that you're going to have today are so unique, so one of a kind, so important to be out there. And if nothing else happens in my talk, my sharing, is that everybody knows that their voice, no one else can have the impact on the world that their voice has. We cannot rely on other voices to make the difference that we want to make, because no one was sent here with our purpose to make the difference that we can make. And that's why these voices and the use of the voice and learning how to make it powerful is so important.
I love it. But she's not wrong in the chat box. Hashtag she's not wrong. That's our hashtag for today. And I love it. You're totally right. And I am all about having people be able to raise their voice. I think that's something that we have been steered away from, at least in my generation. It was children are to be seen and not heard and not encouraged to raise their voice and share their message. But we're the only ones who can do it, right? We're the only ones who can share from our perspective. So I love what you say. So powerful stuff. All right, well, let's get into it. How are we going to change all these things where we're going to shape the future to create a world rooted in social justice, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
First, what's so interesting about you talking, I love that you gave me such a wonderful segue, is that the beginning of my voice journey that I remember is my mother, when I was about 4 years old, said to me with this piercing, penetrating layer, Manette Antiel, lower your voice.
Yeah, I got that a lot too.
You know, you just... You know, I needed my mother's approval. You know, she was a safe place in the world. My father, my dear father, with such integrity and loving and generous, was a World War II veteran with PTSD. And so he kind of swung with these different parts of himself. And so my mother really was my core and my center. I had to have her back. So what do? She's angry, right? She wants me to be different somehow. What do? And so I used my technique from my father. I used humor. And I said, is this low enough, mother? Breath, because that was
that sassy. Was clever. Look how that was you were at age four.
That was kind of sassy, right?
Is this low enough, mother?
And she, yes, right? And I had her back, right? And my guess is that's not the only time I got that direction, right? And we developed this kind of routine.
Is this low enough, mother? But pretty soon, that's what I did. I lowered my voice.
Oh.
Okay, my voice went down here. And it's not an unpleasant voice, right? It's kind of a deeper voice, right? And this is the voice that I had. And, you know, there may be a reason I was told to lower my voice. I was a little ambitious and out there. I mean, and I used this voice when I would run through, you know, class office, and I did debate and I did theater. And I sang in the choir. When I sang in the choir, I used my voice differently. However, this was my voice. And I thought I was going to do theater and art and things like that. And it was the late 60s. And the world was erupt with war, that we were campaigning, you know, protesting against. The Civil Rights Act had only been passed in 1965. This was 1968, 69. Martin Luther King had been killed, Bobby Kennedy. It was a time the women's movement, sisterhood, you know, the second wave feminism, sisterhood was powerful. And I pivoted and went to law school and left the theater, left the arts. I was on a different stage, right? But this was the voice that I had. And I was a prosecutor with this voice. And I could be heard because, quite honestly, it's not like we see on television. Courtrooms are fairly small. You're up close to the judge and the jury. I was a prosecutor, and I could be heard. And later, when I went into corporate, I would sit it in rooms and boardrooms and meeting rooms. But what began to happen, what I began to notice, is that I would say something, and it would be somewhat respectfully, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then 2 minutes, not 2 minutes, 1 minute, less than that later, a man would say the same thing. And they go, oh, what a great idea. And I'm like, that's what I just said. Now, this was in the late 70s, early 80s. There was clearly misogyny going on. But it was only when I went back, I had my own law practice. I was a media spokesperson for the ACLU. But then I stayed home with two neurodivergent children for a while. And I didn't want to go back into the world of this.
Yeah.
I did not want to go back into the world of this, so I went back to theater. And when I did, I was taking acting class, and they said, you know, Manette, we think you have some talent, but, you know, we keep losing your voice.
We keep losing the voice because it trails off because you were trained into doing it.
It trails off. You hear it?
Yeah.
It kind of trails off at the end. And they said, you got to learn. I had to go to voice class. All actors, the foundation is voice class. And when I was in voice class, I'm going to do it. I had to learn to bring my voice up. I had to bring
adjusted. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I'm assuming that you hear that difference, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And
I agree.
What it does is I had to find my resonant pitch.
Mm.
Now, often people think, oh, to be serious and authoritative and to sound like with confidence, you have to have a deep voice. Right? Deep voice. We need to be Morgan Freeman. Right? But that's not your pitch. That's not your resonant pitch. When you go too low, you bury your voice and you trail off. You become breathy because it's not doing what it needs to do. You know, Martin Luther King had an amazing voice. But so does Morgan Freeman. And when he was interviewed, they will ask him about his voice. And he claims in these interviews that he got his voice in theater class at Los Angeles Community College from his voice teacher. Well, that's only partially true. He was born with Morgan Freeman's voice.
Yes.
However, during the course of his life, before he got there, he developed habits in using his voice that were not serving its fullness. And what he was able to learn in voice class was how to go past those poor habits, learn new habits in the use of his voice, and have the Morgan Freeman voice that we all can
now hear
so fully, right?
That's fascinating.
And so you are born with a voice that's like a snowflake. There is not one voice in the world of what, almost 8 billion people in the world. No one has your voice. Scientists speculate no one in the history of the world has had your voice. You know, it's just like, you know, we have fingerprints. We know those are unique. We know our faces, our eyes, that's how we get into our phones and everything. They have a very unique face. The worlds of your ears are completely different. Do you know you have a tongue print?
So, oh gosh, I didn't know that.
Right. So every part of us,
I believe it. That's awesome.
Every part of us is unique. And your voice comes from your body. We have this idea that our voice is here. And yes, you go down here, you find your larynx, your Adam's apple, you can move it back and forth. Inside that little cup of cartilage lies your vocal cords, your vocal folds. They ultimately make the sound that we all hear, right? Your vocal folds.
With the vibration. Okay. Oh, yeah.
The vibration. Can you feel it? You put your voice, yep. You can just feel it. But I'm going to have you do something. I'm going to have you make the sound
like your teeth. Now turn off the sound. It's it.
Oh, yeah. You can stop. If you all are trying this at home and it's not just Manette and I buffing into the mic. Hopefully you guys are trying it. But that was fun in the chat box. Let us know that you're trying it along with us.
And then it becomes F. Go
if make it. Make from a Z. V to an F, you can feel that your vocal cords stop vibrating.
Right? So make a Z. Now turn the sound off. It becomes S.
I like it. Angela and Lisa are playing with us. I love it.
Okay. So this is where the sound is made, right?
All right.
And you know, you hear it a lot of times that you need a lot of breath for sound. Your breath's job in making your sound is to vibrate those vocal cords. They're like this. They sit on top of your windpipe. And when your brain says, I want to speak, right, the vocal folds close. That's weird, right? You take a breath in, like I want to talk. Think about it. We call it inspiration. When you want to talk, you're kind of like, you may have that little.
Yeah.
Right? There's this little intake of air, right? 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 And you take the air in, the vocal folds close. And then the breath's going to exhale, right? And it builds up pressure underneath the vocal folds, forcing them apart, and they begin to vibrate. And they vibrate not just like that, but like that. And the size of your thumbnail, your thumbnail, right? Your thumbnail, your vocal folds. Another thing is very different, right? So the size of this, the length, the width, that's why men have bigger vocal folds. They have larger vocal folds. That's why they're deeper. Their vocal folds are bigger and wider and thicker. That's why there's the change of voice when that happens. But anyway, so that creates sound waves. Those sound waves go up into your head. And the breath brings them. Then your breath only goes for about here. You can scream as loud as you can, and your breath will only go about this far. What goes is those vibrations. They go up, they resonate against these bones, your jaw, your cheekbones, your forehead, your cranium. They go down, they vibrate. Oh, you become a vibrating resonant chamber. These sound waves go out and they hit, you know, the surfaces around you, and then they hit into the person you're speaking to. I don't say they hit, they touch. They touch the people you're speaking to. It vibrates their bones. And eventually it goes to these little bones inside their ears, which their brain translates into sound. Even people who are deaf feel that vibration. You are touching.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating.
Touching the people you are communicating with.
That's fascinating. Even the people who are deaf can feel the vibration, because the vibration is physicality. And even if the ear is not functioning as a listening device, they still receive the vibration.
If you'll remember that historic scene in The Miracle Worker, I don't know if you where Helen Keller is being taught how to speak, they put her teacher puts water here, puts her voice down, and she speaks and she feels the vibrations.
Oh, wow. All right.
So we are vibrating resonant instruments. And so only when we have this body that's open, right, open to the breath, open to movement, open to the vibration, can we have the full power of our voices. Right? I'll tell you other things. So the breath makes the sound. So as little breath as you have in your lungs, that controls the amount of breath you have and the support you can give it. So if you'll put your hand right here like this against your ribs, right? And then put your ribs. Can you go down your ribs and find how they become like a cutaway coat? They kind of go, you can put your fingers underneath your ribs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale, inhale. What you're feeling, this is your diaphragm. Your diaphragm is pasted at the bottom of your ribs. There's all these muscles in front of it, but you're feeling your diaphragm as it goes down, press against those muscles. When you do that, if you put your hair here over your belly button, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. The more this goes out, the more sound you'll have. But what's happening is the breath isn't going into your belly. The breath can only go into these lungs.
what's happening is
that they are expanding this way. So you can feel it on the sides expanding out, but in the belly, you feel it dropping. Yeah.
What's expanding out is your ribs. Your ribs are floating up and out, and then they're floating down. They're floating up and out, and then they're floating down. At the same time, the diaphragm's going down, the ribs are going out. And do you see how much space there is in the lungs for breath? And then it relaxes. And then it fills up. And then it relaxes, right? And the other thing that's wonderful, the diaphragm going down, when you got to be loose here, you can't do like we're told, keep it in, hold it in, right? It's got to be loose here, because what happens is when the diaphragm goes down, the more it can go down, the more your lungs can fill up. It's also giving a massage to these viscera down here. Also, the heart is in the, kind of sits in the diaphragm. As the diaphragm goes down, it's massaging the heart. So when we have tension in our bodies, closing down, we're holding in. We can't have a full breath. We can't have a full voice. And of course, the situation in our world today and trauma, difficulty, stress, tension brings us in, like this, right? And you can't talk very well when you're tense like this. And so when you're tense here, you know, the I will tell you that one way to know you're going to feel is the distance of your ears from your shoulders. You float that head and neck up. You float those shoulders down, right? If you float the head up, like with this little string, right? Just kind of float it up, let it float up. You float your shoulders down, right? You open this whole area up. You set up a, what Lesak calls a relaxer energizer. One of the best relaxer energizers you can give yourself is a yawn. You want, don't want to yawn like this, like you did. Everybody, can you yawn? You feel the back of your throat open up, that soft palate goes up, this whole oral cavity becomes nice and full for resonance. You hear many voice teachers talk about dropping your jaw. When you say drop your jaw, many people put force in it, like, right? You release your jaw. Just release it, right? And there are exercises we do, and there's massages and things we do to open this up, relax this jaw, relax these muscles. And then we take it on down. We relax. We do things that relax and open the ribs, relax the belly, relax the whole body. That also teaches you to recognize and have a relaxation response that you can learn to trigger. You learn to trigger that relaxation response in your body for your voice. That relaxation response sends the message to this little amygdala back here who's looking for, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, right? It keeps us safe. It's a wonderful thing to have, this little amygdala. But you're by triggering relaxation, you're saying to the amygdala, I got it. Everything's okay. Stay on board. If there's smoke or something, let me know. But I've learned to make a default place in myself of that relaxation. Serves our voice, serves our ability to get out of our cognitive brain and into our bodies, because that's where we feel. We even say it. That touched my heart. Can you say I touch, you know, something, think of something that touches your heart. That touched my heart. Like into the looking into the eyes of a loved one, or watching kitties online, something that just like, oh, that touched my heart. And you feel kind of a warmth, an openness, a lightness here, right? A buoyancy that touched my heart. That's how we say it. That's how we think up here, but we feel here. We also say, oh, that gave me butterflies in my stomach. I have butterflies in my stomach, right? Because we're excited. We're excited. And that's where we feel it. I'm excited, or I'm afraid, or I'm flirty, or I'm laughing. We feel that here, a radiant feeling here in our middle. Then
Manette, thank you, Manette. This is awesome information, but I want to be sure that we can get to the gift and everything else. The title of your talk was Ignite Your Voice, Your Vision, and the World, Shape the Future to Create a World Rooted in Social Justice, Diversity, and Equity and Inclusion. Did you want to speak to any of those?
Let me speak to that. This is important for what that's talking about. Right here is where you have power. Right here is where that got me in the gut. That got me in the gut. That moves me in the gut. That's where I have power. And when you have the power of all of those body energies, touched my heart, it made me excited, it got me in the gut, you can be a powerful, impactful, and authentic connector of speech. And your voice is unique. Everybody's is, which is why we need diversity. That's why we need everybody with a place at the table. That's why everybody has to have an option to be there and give us what they have that they were sent to give us. And if we exclude people, if we don't have a culture of inclusion where we respect and take advantage of and bring in all the access, all the beautiful snowflakes that we have, right? We're less than what we can be, right? So we need that diversity. We need equity so that we feel safe, so that we have housing, so that we have food, so that we can be open and relaxed and be able to completely communicate. We need a world where we all, with all the full diversity of our sound and who we are and what we have to give and do powerfully, we need it. And that's what we
Your message is so powerful. And I want to be sure that everybody gets, that you get a chance to share it all, but we are running out of time. So I need to move to your gift. You have an amazing gift for our audience. It is connect with your voice and your vision, the 7 key fundamentals to transform the world. And you're giving them a 30-minute video, which is present with power, energize, and free your voice. It's an upper body warm-up video. So we're going to go ahead and put that link in the chat. When you guys get it, make sure you put got it in the chat box so that we know that the link worked correctly for you. Sometimes we have trouble with links. On our last one, we actually had a couple people that weren't able to grab it. So put I got it in the chat box if it worked. And that way we know that the link is working out there. And then you also have an amazing VIP gift for our VIPs. Let's talk about the connect real quick, and then we'll move to the VIP gift.
Okay. Connect is connect with breath, right? Open your body, learn new habits, nurture those new habits, engage with the energies, the unique energies and power of your voice, then communicate and practice communicating and using the language in the way we've learned to use it and transform the world. Connect. And it explains those different aspects of it. Right.
Awesome.
And
so when you click on it,
that's why my how I do business is that your voice connection, because our eyes are the windows to the soul. Your voice is the window of the doorway of your soul to the world.
All right. Awesome. And then your VIP gift. This is an admission to a 3-hour workshop that you're teaching. Grow your voice, ignite your power, and share just an equitable world. A jumpstart workshop. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. It's a 3-hour jumpstart little taste workshop of this work.
Awesome. All right. Well, it looks like people got it. So I'm so glad you guys are engaged with us. Cynthia got it. Claudia got it. Lisa Lacey got it. Angela got it. Esther got it. Ray got it. Oh, Ray, it's good to see you here. And Stu, we got a lot of our elder folks here. And Stu got the download, and then Miriam got it as well. Angela says, thank you. So many powerful things here from you today, Manette. We've got another speaker coming up soon, but before we let you go, Manette, any final words for the crew?
You know, author Lessac, who's one of the voice lions that I love and learn from, says, the more you learn to feel things, the more you learn to feel. And the more you learn to feel, the more you learn to connect and engage and be the authentic, open person that can reach and touch others.
Beautifully said. All right, our next speaker up is Ruth Elaine. She's going to be talking about the 4 reasons emotional intelligence is your superpower. All right, Manette, this has just been a joy. Thanks so much for being here with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you back at the bottom of the hour. I'm Kimberly Crow. Cheers. Wow, that was an amazing speaker. For replays of this talk and all the talks, plus an incredible gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, you can always email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.